welcome to Eagles Way Church. I'm so glad you're here. We're so glad you're here. And it's going to be an exciting day. I thought about what I could say to you this morning. And, you know, all too often seems like we may get excited and over things maybe like a ball game or hanging out with your friends or whatever. But coming to church should be a very exciting time. And I hope this morning we can reveal that. We can worship a God who's awesome. I have a verse I want to share with you because we're going to sing Beautiful the Blood. We haven't sang that in a while, but in 2 Corinthians 3:17 it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who are with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now in this song it says, "Now I sing freedom for all of my days." Freedom for all of my days. And it says, "The King of glory rescued me." I want you guys to stand up, and I want you to sing this with all your heart, because we worship a God who is unbelievably awesome and deserves all of our praise. More than anything, more than a baseball game, a football game, a concert, today we're going to worship God with all of our ability. Never knew death could be so sweet. I never knew surrender could feel so free. I never knew such meekness and majesty. That the blood of Jesus was bled for me. And now I see freedom for all of my days. It's only by the power of the cross I praise. The King of glory rescued me. How beautiful the blood flows. How merciful the love shows. The King of glory poured out.
For you are, how
Amen. Let's give you praise this morning.
Thank you, Father.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave. I'm constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
The school of positive thinking that's been going on Wednesday nights, and just through being able to spend time with Ralph, is nothing goes wrong in my world. And that sounds like a crazy thing to really say, nothing goes wrong in my world. And when I look back on some hard things that I've gone through, and I'm like, to say that was, remember one time Mimi told me when I was going through my divorce, and she said, Dusty, I think you're going to look back on this one day and it's going to be a bump in the road. And I thought, that's just crazy. I will never see this bump in the road. But now I see nothing has gone wrong in my world. And in James, he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Something Ralph said the other day, or he said before, that Jesus, and I was sharing this with someone this morning, he's kind of going through a tough time, and I said, Jesus never identified himself with the crucifixion or what he was going through. He didn't say, I am the crucifixion and the death. He identified himself with who he was going to become. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And this song that we're about to sing, it talks about praising him when you feel like you're in a desert area. It talks about praising him when things are good and praising him when things are hard. But when you begin to look at even those hard times as an opportunity for great joy, that's when everything changes. So worship with us this morning.
Bring praise, and I will bring praise.
When favor and providence flow, and I know I'm filled to be emptied again, the seed I've received I will sow. Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you, Father Lord, that through trials, through good seasons, through hard seasons, Father, that we are always who you say we are, and we are becoming more and more of who you say we are.
Amen. Amen. God's a good God, isn't he? You may be seated. Our ushers could be preparing to receive the morning's tithes and offerings and alms. Thank you for your faithfulness, giving of your time and your talents and your first fruits. It's awesome. Some of you are interested in the prison fellowship class, and that training for the prison fellowship has been rescheduled for March 13th. So if you want more information, you can go ahead and begin receiving the offering. If you want more information on that, you can see Ray Goolsby. He can fill you in on that information and get you there. So if you have not yet signed up for Rush and Hope this month, we will be serving on the third Saturday in the food pantry. I know one of my regulars at the food pantry won't be able to be there, so if you're interested in that, there's sign-up sheets at the information booth. So it's cool. God's a good God. God's a great God. We get to receive elements this morning, the morning communion in just a minute. Let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank, so grateful that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can give, but Lord, we can receive. Lord, what's freely been given to us, Lord, we are going to in turn and give it to other people this week. Thank you, Lord, that you'll bless this offering, the tithes and the alms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I've been the one to shake with fear, and I wonder if you're even here. I've been the one to doubt your love. I've told myself you're not enough. Oh, 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 oh. I've been the one to try and say I'll overcome by my own strength. I've been the one to fall apart and start to question who you are. You're the one who conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You set the mouths of the lions. You tell the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the open sail. You are the one, the Messiah. You are the Messiah. You shut the mouths of the lions. You tell the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the open sail. You are the one, Messiah. You are I am. Thank you. shut the mouths of lions. You tell the dead to believe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the open sand. You are the one, the Messiah.
Do you? Well, if you don't feel good, you're going to feel good before this service is over. How about that? I feel so good that when I got up this morning, John Henry and Anna spent the night, Barbara had come to church, and I'd bought some minnows yesterday to take the kids fishing this evening, and about half of them died because the arrowhead went out, the battery died. And I was with John Henry, and I was looking at him. And John Henry said, "Gaga, can you make him come back alive?" I said, "Not yet. I'm getting there." I just felt that good. And I want to share a couple of things with you before we get into the message, and just some neat things that happened to me yesterday. I want to share with you. But here's a campaign we're going on for the next 7 to 8 weeks up until Easter. Easter, I think, is April the 20th, and we got a campaign to go. We're calling it Hear the Word, Proclaim Good News, and Praise His Name. That's what we do here. That's what we do here. This is so important, and how we do that, we hear His Word, proclaim good news, and praise His name, is through all these instruments and these PA systems, and it's sound, and you got to have sound. How many know that sound is maybe the most important thing in this house? I mean, if you can't hear it, we can't get it, right? We can't sing it, we can't praise His name. And so we've had a sound system that's been, it's very old. There's a lot of things that need to happen in it. And we're looking to do three phases. And the first two phases will prepare us for inner ear monitors, which will make the sound even better. But the first two phases is going to help with the quality sound. And so much we got to do. We got to replace all our cables. We got new mics, a new board. Just so much needs to happen. But we need $15,000 to do that. And what we're asking all of us to do is between now and Easter, that you pray and ask God, how much can you give on Easter Sunday to plant a seed toward hearing the word, proclaiming good news, and praising His name? And let me encourage you about something. I know that sometimes when we have campaigns like this, and we seldom do, but when we do, you know, you say, well, you know, I can't give the 500 or the 1,000, or I can't give hundreds like some people can do. You know what? If you can give 10, 20, 30, it doesn't matter. Just give something. And just let this be a seed that you sow on Easter Sunday for sound. That it's a seed that is going to proclaim in God's good news. It's going to be worshiping Him and praising Him. So between now and then, ask God for a creative idea of what can I do to raise some money. Maybe have a yard sale. I don't know. Sell something you got in your house, or just whatever you can do. But we're really believing God that we have $8,000, right at $8,000 to go toward it right now. But we need $15,000 to get these two phases done out of the gate. And so Easter Sunday is going to be a great day. This is our 50-year anniversary. 50 years this year we celebrate. And I pull up on this property, and I think about all the things that's happened on this property and throughout the years of history here, and it just thrills me. It just thrills me to know how many people have been saved, how many people's lives have been changed, how many lives restored, how many people have gone from being negative to being positive, how many people are just better off because of God. And there's a lot that's gone on this property in all these years. And you have been such a part of that. And so we're celebrating this whole year, 50 years. Our first big celebration is going to be March the 16th. And Mike Oliver is going to be speaking that morning. You're going to be giving your new T-shirts. If you want something special on your T-shirt, see Brian, and he'll put it on there for you. I'm teasing. I asked him to do so much this week that Brian looked at Will one day and said, does he know what he's asking? Does he know what he's asking to be done in 1 week? But I'm just thrilled with what's going on. Yesterday I was at John Holloway's memorial service, and I had just so many great fond memories. It was just, I got to see Randy Adler, and I just can't tell you what it felt like when we looked at each other and we started going toward each other and the big smiles that came on our faces and when we embraced. And I just purposely felt the presence of God. And I just remembered so many good things. And I just thought, wow. And I don't mean this only in a godly, honoring way, but I just said, here's two prophets just embracing each other. And there's got to be something good in this connection happening right now. I just, what was going through my mind, there's just got to be something good in this connection right now. And it was such a thrill. And I know many of you know Randy Allen and what he meant to this church. And he's really a tremendous part of the history of this church. And John Holloway was such a part of the history of this church. And I've just been overflowing with gratitude. I can't tell you how thrilled I am about our school on Wednesday nights and the people that are coming. And we're having almost 200 people every Wednesday night show up. I don't know how many people outside the church are coming. It's just awesome. Tonight, if you want to turn on PBS, the Public Broadcasting System, Dr. Wayne Dyer is going to be teaching on a new book he's got, I Can See Clearly Now. And I know that announcement won't be made in every church across Griffin, so... But we'll make it here. So you just can't overdose on being positive, right? Anybody had a temptation this week to be negative at all? Say anything negative? Huh? I know somebody who did. And they were one of the most positive people. They had a little bad experience at a place they went to. And all this negativity came about. But their testimony the next day was how draining they let that, all that negativity just drain them, and how it was dumb to let such an insignificant thing drain them of their good feeling. I won't tell you who it is, but Ralph's laughing, but it ain't him. But it's real close. Real close. So, but it's this works. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what I believe is the most important part of I am who God says I am. I believe this is the most important part of positive living, that if you don't do this, you won't get it. And it's called replacement thinking. And we talked about that in the past. We talked about it a little bit last week. We're going to keep talking about it until God says stop talking about it, because it is that important. And I want to show you this morning that God uses replacement thinking. God uses replacement thinking. We read this scripture out of Isaiah 43:25. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will never think of them again. And I'll replace that with thinking about you, not in your sin, but in your righteousness in Christ. That God sees you in a different way than he used to see you, because he has chosen not to think that way, and he has replaced his thoughts with good thoughts about you. That's good stuff. And so when he thinks about you, he only thinks about good stuff. I was blessed last week, was having an elders meeting, and Ken Mullis was telling me he used the Jari window model. And one of the windows that we look at life through is what we know about, what other people know about us, that we don't know about ourselves. And one of the most, what he said, positive person in their office, he walked up to him and just asked him, he said, if I ask you to think about something about me that I don't know, what would it be? And it was negative. And when he shared with him, he said, isn't that funny that the first thought you would think about somebody would be negative? And so he went, and Ken wasn't able to try it out on nobody else in the office, because he went and tried it out on everybody else in the office. And he found out that the first thought a person would have about another person is negative. But it ought to be, if I ask you, what do you know about me that I don't know about myself? It ought to be positive. It ought to look at somebody and say, wow, you're such an encourager. You're such this. You're such a godly person. That's how we should see one another, right? That we see each other no longer after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. And so that's how we need to view life. And if we'll do this, our lives will be so different. You'll be able to say, I can't raise the dead fish now, but maybe one day. Maybe one day. I just look at it in a total different light. Because it was a negative thing to see half my fish dead, because I want to go fishing this evening. And it was a negative thing. But I choose not to let it look at it that way. Amen? Look at this scripture, Matthew 12. We looked at it last week, but this, I want you to just get this scripture in you until you just know it like you know your name. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Now, only one word there is bad word is, and what's that word? Empty. Swept's good. In order is good. But empty's not good. See, being positive is not the absence of negativity. That's only halfway. Being positive is replacing the negativity with something positive. See, a thought, I just can't do away with evil thoughts. I got to replace them with good thoughts. I can't just do away with bad thinking. I got to replace it with good thinking. And so I can't say that I'm a positive person because I'm not negative. I can only say I'm a positive person if I'm positive. If I'm saying stuff. So it comes back and says, the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. See, the evil spirit's driven from a man, but they're not destroyed. And I want to use this, and I'm stretching this a little bit, so give me some liberty to do this. But I'll show you in Genesis 1 how I'm not stretching it. But in this passage, look at it in a way that when a person is born again, how many remembers the day they got saved? Well, you got born again. And a lot of bad stuff left you. Okay, if it didn't, we need to check on your born again experience. Okay, a lot of bad stuff left you, and a lot of good stuff came in. Now, I've been pastoring long enough to know this experience is for real. That I've seen people who came into the kingdom, were born again, and all this bad stuff left. And man, they was up, they were positive. But over a period of time, stuff started creeping back in. And all of a sudden, this person who, all of a sudden, they just love everybody, and they think the world's great, and everybody's happy, and nobody's bad, and nobody's, I mean, it's just everybody, everything's good because they got these new glasses on, and they're seeing everything in the light of the Spirit. But after a while, if they're not careful, they begin to look at other people and judge them. And they begin to say, well, man, this person ought not live that way, and that person ought. And next thing you know, all these spirits have come back, and that person is more critical, more negative, more judgmental than they were before they ever got saved. You say, Buren, can that happen? It does happen. Some of the meanest people in the world are church people. Some of the most judgmental, critical people in the world are church people. And it's like we have the right now. Like we've been given this judge inspection license. And that now we can judge other people because we're not bad anymore. And so we, before you know it, what happens is this judgmental, critical attitude takes over a person. And they're worse off than they ever were before they ever got saved. They're worse off than they ever were before they ever asked Christ to come into their heart. And that's what we're trying to veer from and keep us from ever getting to, is getting back to a place where we see people in the light that we ought not to see people. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, Isaiah says that when God created the world, the earth, he created it perfect. And he did not create it to be empty, and he did not create it to be chaotic. But in this passage, something has happened. And there are different views about this verse. I choose to believe this one, that the Hebrew word for the earth was formless, a better translation of that, when you study out Scripture, is that the world became. You see, you can't be an ignorant Christian. When somebody says to you, you know, they talked about there were some dinosaurs that was millions of years ago. Well, don't act like a nut and say, well, the earth only 6,000 years old, so I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. You've never seen Jurassic Park? Yeah, you see Jurassic Park. I watched it in 3D this week. It was real. And so what happened, this earth, as far as it is right now, has only been here a little over 6,000 years in this form. See, but God didn't, I don't know what happened, how it became empty, but God's not going to create something chaotic and out of order. Something happened, and whatever it was, and many, many theologians believe that something happened millions of years ago in the earth, and the earth became full of darkness, disorder, it was chaotic, and it was empty. And then God did something. God began to have what I believe is some replacement thinking. Amen. And so God says, God didn't create anything to be in darkness. He didn't create anything to be disorderly. He didn't create anything to be empty. As you'll see in this passage of Scripture, God put us here on the earth, and the first mandate that God gave Adam and Eve was this. God created man in his own likeness and his own image. And he blessed them and he said, take dominion, fill the earth. Fill it up. Fill it up with what? Fill it with what? Light, love, peace, happiness. Fill the earth with good things. And see, that's what God did. The Bible says when God looked at that in Genesis 1 and 2, it says, then God said, let there be light. Now watch this. I love the book of Genesis because it is the seedbed of all truth. Every doctrine you'll ever find in the Scripture, you'll find in the book of Genesis. Everything you ever need to know about good, sound doctrine is found in Genesis. And what you have here, if you read it in this light, that once time God found you, and he found you, the Bible says that before Christ, we are in darkness. That we walk in darkness and we don't have the light. The Bible says that we are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. And we go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And why we do that? Because the Spirit of God probably drew you. Anybody remember those days? The Spirit of God reached out. Well, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. Sometime in your experience, God looked at you and said to your dark life, let there be light. Let there be light. And all of a sudden, the light came on and you saw. Right? You saw things for the first time differently than you ever saw things. And so after he said, let there be light, he says, let there be a separation of the waters above and the waters beneath. Waters in Scripture is the Word, been washed by the water of the Word. And there are two waters. There's a water from heaven, there's a water on the earth. There's wisdom from above and there's wisdom beneath. There's godly wisdom, there's devilish wisdom. That's in James. And so what happened is the Spirit of God drew us, the light came on, and a separation began to transpire in our life, didn't it? You remember that? All of a sudden, you started thinking differently. You started seeing things differently. You started acting differently because of how you were thinking. And so after that, God looked and said, you know, I've taken care of the light, of the darkness. I brought light now, and I've separated these waters. Now I want some fruit to happen. I want this deadness in the earth. I want it to come alive. And so God spoke, and vegetation began to come forth. And plants began to grow, and fruit began to grow. And it was just beautiful. What, when God drew you by His Spirit, the light came on, and He started working and bearing fruit in your life, right? Because He wants to bring you to a place of maturity to where you're not only bearing fruit, but you're giving it out. You're not just to have it. Freely you have received, now freely give. And so all of this begins to happen, and God began to bless day in and day out, and all this fruit came, and all this wonderful stuff was in the earth. And then God saw it, and He said it was good. And then He took a man and a woman, and He placed them in a garden, and He said, now I want you to tend this garden. I want you to tend it. What do you mean tend it? God, I want you to make sure it keeps bearing fruit. And so man and woman was put in the garden, and God said, now you can eat of every tree of the garden, whatever you want to eat, but one tree, don't eat this tree. Because when you eat it, you're going to die. And it's the tree of the knowledge of good and what?
Evil.
See, there was a tree called the tree of life, and in that tree, the only thoughts you had were good thoughts. The only fruit you ate was good fruit. You ate love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faith. But when you partake of this other tree of knowledge of good and evil, there becomes a mixture. And God hates a mixture. And so there was good and evil because they didn't know of evil until they ate of the fruit. You don't know of the evil until you eat it. You don't know about it until you think about it. You don't think. And when you think about it, you start to talk about it. When you start talking about it, you start acting like it. And so why are we pounding this? Because it's got to be pounded and pounded and pounded. That's why. Because we got to replace our thinking and not think negative. Not get rid of our stinking thinking so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Don't you want to do that?
Yeah.
You'd rather have fruit or have the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest which of these? Then there ain't good stuff. It's evil. It's jealousy, is envy and strife and all sorts of bad stuff. Who wants that? But the fruit of the Spirit's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith. I'd rather have, don't you rather have that fruit? Man. How many love fruit? How many know the difference in really good fruit and rotten fruit? Have you ever mistakenly, those strawberries, they were good when I bought them. But you ever mistakenly grab one and didn't really look at it before you grab one out? I did that the other day. That's the reason this is so fresh for me. This strawberries, but they'd gotten, man, I grabbed one. Oh, ooh, that ain't. That's no good. I want good fruit. And to keep good fruit, I got to keep this garden for which God has given me to tend. God's given me this body, this soul, and this spirit to tend, to tend, to tend. To keep the evil out.
Amen.
To keep it out. So that I can think right and act right and be right. See, to create something, creating something, God called into existence that which was non-existent. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 11, it says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. He didn't say He created it. He created it in Genesis 1. He called into existence that which did not exist. But when He made it, He took what already was there and made it.
Amen.
Built it. Cause it to come into being. Are you with me? And see, that's what happened when God called you by His Spirit. You were born again. That was a creative act of God that only God can do.
Amen.
You were born again. You become a new creature. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. That is an ongoing process that God desires in our life each and every day of our life. That old things are passing and all things are becoming new. Is that what you want? How many like new stuff? Do you like new stuff? I like when stuff that's old is new again. Isn't that why you love spring? Isn't this day just got you going crazy? I mean, isn't this day great? Huh? I mean, look around. There's a lot of people thought it was really great today, and they were out there enjoying it. I mean, they're like, wow, what a beautiful day. I think I'm just going to go enjoy it. And they are. They're somewhere. And I hope they're out there. I really do. I hope they're outside jumping up and down and pray. Thank God for this day. Man, I'm so excited about spring. I can't tell you. I may wear a seersucker coat next week. I'm so excited about spring. I don't care if it's spring or not. I'm excited about spring. I like the newness. Flowers about to come out. Trees about to blossom. Pollen's about to fall. But then, all that's okay because what's going to come after that is glory and beauty. Wow. Aren't you excited about it? Man, I can't wait to go fishing. It's great. Life is wonderful. Somebody asked me one time, you believe in reincarnation? I said, no, but it wouldn't matter to me. I love life. I'd run through it again. Man, it's a wonderful life. And see, but we got to decide that that's what we're going to do. And so God took this darkness, this disorder, this chaotic place, and he began to build it and make it what it ought to be. And I have that choice every single day of my life. Every single day of my life, I have the ability to do away with the darkness, to do away with the disorder, and to do away with the deadness and bring light and put good things. Amen? So God created human beings in his own image. The image of God, he created them, male and female. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea. Hallelujah. I'll be doing that next month. Reigning over the fish of the sea. Big old bump, yeah. Oh, the birds in the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground. Fill the earth. Fill the earth. Why? Because I didn't create it to be empty. Isaiah 40, I skipped over this, but I want to read this scripture. I quoted a little bit of it. Isaiah 45, 18, the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I am the Lord, he says, and there is no other. That's good stuff. I've read this stuff. That's why I saw it. It's like I ain't never read this week. I read it and I'm like, man, this is brand new stuff. I taught this stuff years ago. You remember? Don't you? Vaguely. I've taught this stuff over and over and over again. I really have. I have probably taught Genesis chapter 1 as much as anything I've ever taught in Scripture. How many know that? You've been here long enough. How many times have I taught out of Genesis 1? A lot. You know why? Because it is good stuff. It's good, and it's like brand new to me this week. Is it brand new to you? I'm trying to make it brand new to you. Is it brand new to you? Is it good? Wow, this is just good stuff. Then Jesus comes along, and Jesus brings us this thing called the Golden Rule. Golden Rule. How many of you have heard of the Golden Rule? Toward the end of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus looks at the disciples, and he says, do to others whatever you would like them do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. How many times have I ever read that scripture to you? Y'all don't know that. I mean, a lot, haven't I? How many know it's, I'm doing it again? Because it's good stuff. Is that good? Now, he didn't say do not do anything. He said to do. Christianity is not to be a negative Christianity. It's to be a positive Christianity. It's a doing, not a not doing. That was an ED move. It's not about what you're not going to do. It's what you're going to do. So many people raised up in Christianity, it's all about thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. How many glad you've got a God who says do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Be happy, be happy, be happy, be happy. Aren't you glad of that? I came up with some Christians around me. I thought because I decided when I got, I just going to go do my thing. When I got old, real good and old, I was going to give my heart to God because nobody was happy. And I didn't want to be that. I didn't want that. And so I have lived now a long time. And it's been happy. It's good. Confucius said, what you don't want done to yourself, do not do to others. And that's good. How many know that's good? But that's not positive. That's just the absence of negativity. Hillel, great, great person, teacher of the law, said, do not do to thy neighbor what is hateful to thyself. How many know that's good? I like that. That's good stuff. Socrates, he said, what stirs your angers when done to you by others, don't do to them. Now, I mean, all that's good stuff. That's not what Jesus said. He did not say, don't do to others what you don't want done to yourself. He says, do to others what you want done to yourself. How many want to be kind? How many want somebody to love you? Well, guess what? How many want to be forgiven? How many want mercy when you mess up? How many want somebody to pick you up when you fall down? How many want somebody to love you? Well, love somebody else. How many want to be a friend? Well, be friendly. How many want kindness shown? Show kindness to other people. In the context of this scripture, Jesus said this, judge not that you be not judged, for every judgment you judge, it shall come back to you. And so he goes on to say it, this is what I want you to do. Take what I've given you, and do it to other people. Get up in the morning and decide, I'm going to live my life a blessing to somebody else. I'm going to find somebody to give something to love on them. And if you do that, it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will come back. It will come back. You can't give and not be given back. It's the principle of God. It is out there in the universe, and it cannot be violated. You give, and it's going to be given back to you. It's going to come back to you. You want love? Give love. You want happy? Give it. Give it. Give it. Give it. And it all comes back. It all comes back. One last scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Wow. Whatever I do or say, let it be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what you do and what you say, be in the realization Jesus is standing right there. Amen. Paul said it another way in another book to the church of Ephesus. He says, I want you to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I was raised Pentecostal, and I know what filled with the Spirit is. I know what baptized in the Spirit is. I pray. I know it's going to be shocked to some of you. I pray in tongues every single day. Pentecostal is part of my history. I'm as Pentecostal as you get. People don't know that, but I am. I pray in tongues. more than you all, Paul said. And I can probably say to most of the church world out there that think this and that of me, I pray in tongues more than every one of you. Every single day I pray in tongues. I allow the Holy Spirit to pray through me, bless through me, to go through me. But Paul said this another way. He said, be filled with the Spirit. He says, by speaking and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, spirit among yours, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, we're raising $15,000 so we can sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. So we can sing out His name. We can praise His name. We can proclaim and declare the goodness of God. Hallelujah. That we can see negativity done away with and positive lived. I can see bad done away with and good come about. I really like the Old King James Version. And that's what he says in the Old King James. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word dwelling comes from a word, a Greek word, that means at home. It means at home. How many times we have welcomed people into our home? And we've said this maybe one way or the other. Make yourself what? Make yourself at home. And that means if I go in Miss Penny's house and she says, Beard, make yourself at home, I can go to your refrigerator and get anything I want. Anything I want. And I'm not going to feel bad about it. I took a boat seat over to Keith's yesterday to fix my boat seat. It was broken. And Keith texted me and told me how grateful he was to fix my boat seat. And to always feel comfortable calling him for that. And I text back and I said, I will. I will. And Jesus says, when I come into your house, I want to be at home. You see, God, He had enough of the tabernacle. He had enough of the temple. He had enough of all of that.
Yes, sir.
He says, you can't build me a house big enough, great enough for me. I don't choose to dwell in buildings made with hands. But I want to dwell in you. And when I'm in there, I just want you to know the kind of person I am. I don't like negativity. I don't like judgmentalism. I gave my life to get rid of it. I died on the cross so the Father would no longer look at you and judge you anymore. I gave my nails were put into my wrist, nails with thorns in my head. I bled every drop of blood out of my body. I sweated blood. And that's the kind of person I am. So let me be at home in you. I'm not gonna jump out. I'm not gonna leave you. I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Thank God when I get negative, He don't jump out. Aren't you glad of that? I've seen people get saved every single week. You don't have to. Only one time. And He comes into your heart. And that's when we take of this is to remind us what He did. And so He said, I'm going to come and I want to sit down inside you. That's where I want to dwell. See, we didn't come to church today. We are the church. You came to a building. And we leave here. He ain't staying. This is not where he lives. Where's he going? He's going home with Willie. Going home. Willie. Where that came from, Will. Going home with Willie. Going home with Terry. He's going home with me. When I leave, y'all better leave too, because he's going. He's inside you, and he says, that's where I want to dwell. And I just want to be at home. And he says, so when I'm sitting in your house, and I'm in your kitchen even with you, and you start thinking about other stuff and start talking about people, that just bothers me. Man, that hurts. it's grieving me when you do that. And I'm not going to leave you. I ain't going anywhere. But let me dwell there. And I tell you what, I like it when me and God are in agreement. Yep. You think about this, and we'll take communion. How many has ever had a disagreement with your wife? Just Keith. I knew, Keith, you were the bad one. How many has ever had a disagreement with your wife? Well, how wonderful and happy is that? Isn't it wonderful when that happens? Just think about all the peace that's fluttering around the house. And all the joy that's happening. It's just so wonderful when we're in disagreement. I just love it when Barbara and I disagree. I'm just so filled with peace and harmony. And that's the way it is with God. When you're in agreement with God, it means you're tending the garden the way that He wants you to tend the garden. He wants you to fill it, the earth. And so the next time you see somebody, maybe you have an experience like I had yesterday, and just look at my old buddy Randy and go, wow. Let me just get some of that. Just let me just embrace and feel. I just love to start prophesying anytime now. Just to feel that goodness. Goodness. He wants you to see everybody you see that way. God didn't want me to just see Randy Adler that way. Because see, I've just chosen over the years. When I think of Randy Adler, I think of only good stuff. That's all I think of is good stuff. Good stuff. That's how I want to think about you. Help me do that too, okay? Now, I'm saying a mouthful right there. you gotta help me. I gotta help you see some good stuff in me. How am I gonna help you do that? Let's stand together. Children's come in, they want to have communion. So the elders coming station, you come and take your elements and go back to your seat. We'll receive it together.
Thank you.
Notice the way some of these people are dressed. Today was Nerd Day, Children's Church. And so if you see how some of them are dressed and some of the leaders are dressed, if you look around you, you'll see a few nerds. You'll see how they dress. I'm teasing. I want to bless a couple. Renice, I just want to remind you that remember when we had communion, Christmas communion, that I spoke a word over you. This is going to be a great year. And God just wants to remind you of that, and it's going to be tending upward. And you just keep that in you. The Bible says that we war good warfare over the prophecies that are spoken over us. It's not just to hear something once, it's to remind ourselves over and over again. And David Gamble, God just wants to say to you, he likes what's happening in your life, and he likes the fact you're seeing yourself the way he has always seen you, and that your life is just going to get better and better and better and better and better, and that God just really likes what you're seeing, because he said, I've always, always, always have seen that.
Amen.
It's great. The night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he broke it, he said, this is my body. It's broken for you in remembrance of me. Same night he took the cup. He said, this is my blood. This is the new covenant. Everybody say new. It's new. He wants it new every day of our lives. This is the new covenant. Love each other. Forgive each other as I've loved you and forgiven you. Raph says this sometimes on Wednesday nights after service. He says, hug five people. He knows that just grates on me, but I gotta hug five people, my gosh. But I am a loving man though. Fine. If you don't hug, I want you to say something. I want to put a big thing on you. One person. Encourage one person for you to lead today. Tell them something about them that's really neat. Like Brian asked me earlier today, because he don't get this kind of stuff from me all the time. I looked at him, and he looked at me and says, what you looking at? I said, I'm looking at a fine-looking young man. Right? 95.